VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. We thank you for tuning in for our broadcast today. Our thanks to Sandy for getting so many stories together for us through the course of the week, and lots of information here. I can see it's more, again, than what I'll be able to share with you today on the broadcast. Our thanks also to Karen at the phones, and also to Dennis in the control room, and our staff here at VCY America. We so appreciate each and every one and their part in keeping Christian Radio 24/7 coming your way. Friends, as we begin our roundup here today, again, I mentioned the fact that we are living in troublesome times. The many issues that are confronting us, we see morality is becoming more of a rarity in our land. We're seeing the marks of immorality that are abounding on so many different levels. We also see the aspect of a growing viciousness in our society today, a growing anger, a greater hostility. Certainly we're seeing a greater amount of lawbreaking that is taking place. And these are certainly lives that need to be turned around by the gospel. And it's important that we be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Just recapping a lot of the news here from this week, we're going to begin with a story from the Washington Examiner. It's many sources, of course, but President Biden decided to seek a second term, announcing his 2024 reelection campaign, ending months of speculation about his future. He is 80 years old, the oldest commander-in-chief after former President Ronald Reagan, who departed the White House at the age of 77. He rolled out his bid with a pre-recorded video on the anniversary of his 2020 launch. And he tweeted out at 5 a.m. on Tuesday, saying every generation has a moment to which they have to stand up for democracy, to stand up for their fundamental freedoms. I believe this is ours. That's why I'm running for re-election as president of the United States. Join us. Let's finish the job. I've seen those are asking what job is being finished. Biden's announcement coincides with the average 43% to 54% approval-disapproval ratings and polling that suggests voters, including Democrats, would prefer another nominee. An NBC News poll published last weekend, for example, found 26% of the public supported Biden running again, just 26% of the public. FoxNews.com reporting Representative Ronnie Jackson, who was a White House physician to multiple presidents, is circulating a letter among House Republicans demanding that President Biden take a cognitive test or drop out of the 2024 race. The letter cites his age, his public gaffes, and polls, showing many Americans have doubt about the president's mental fitness as reasons for the president to take a cognitive test. The Daily Wire reporting, despite a pledge to bring transparency and truth back to the government, President Biden has held the fewest press conferences since Ronald Reagan and just half as many of his predecessors. He averages 10 news conferences per year during his first 2 years, including 11 solo sessions and 9 with foreign leaders. According to New York Times, which cited the American Presidency Project at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Well, in contrast, President Trump averaged 19.5 during his first 2 years. Barack Obama averaged 23. Bill Clinton averaged 41.5. Biden has also taken to avoiding foreign press, whether it be in Ireland or other locations he has been as well. It's just not press conferences. He's done fewer interviews than any president since Reagan, just 54. In contrast, Trump did 202, Obama 275, the Times reported. Breitbart tells us that President Biden brought a cheat sheet with him to a Wednesday press conference that showed he had advanced knowledge of a journalist's question. The cheat sheet showed a photo of the Los Angeles Times reporter, a guide on how to pronounce her name, and the very question that she was going to ask. You know, how are you squaring your domestic priorities like reshoring semiconductors, manufacturing with alliance-based foreign policy, the question asked. Does that mean that he pre-clears every question, Senator Mike Lee of Utah asked? I'm so glad the American media establishment is so even-handed in how it interacts with Republicans and Democrats. So much fairness, Lee sarcastically added. And that's the thing. It came up at a press conference with the press secretary. Why is President Biden not taking questions? Why is not holding press conferences? And so they brought about a press conference. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The question here, the cheat sheet, showed the question, the reporter, everything was precast. FoxNews.com reporting the Sudanese military has been working with foreign governments to evacuate diplomats as their country descends into a massive conflict. The conflict between the paramilitary rapid support forces and Sudan's armed forces began on April 15th. The World Health Organization reported that at least 413 people have died, while injury estimates are as high as over 3,500. The American Embassy in Sudan, Western Journal reports, was evacuated Saturday in a lightning helicopter mission. Some 100 troops to rescue fewer than 100 embassy personnel used Night Stalker helicopters in the mission. Although the embassy is now shuttered, about 16,000 Americans remain in Sudan, according to Politico. Some are asking, is this another Afghanistan? American military news saying a second American has been killed in Sudan. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby confirmed this Wednesday. This death comes as Kirby said it was not safe enough to evacuate Americans stranded in Sudan after the Biden administration evacuated U.S. government employees over the weekend. And Kirby said President Biden has asked for every conceivable option to help as many Americans as possible, adding that the administration is actively facilitating the departure of a relatively small number of Americans who've indicated to us that they want to leave. From Just the News, the Taliban has reportedly killed the Islamic State terrorist who orchestrated a deadly attack against U.S. troops in Afghanistan during the withdrawal back in 21. 11 U.S. Marines, a Navy sailor, one Army trooper died in this deadly August 26, 2021 suicide bombing. According to Fox News, more than 150 civilians died. 18 more U.S. service members sustained injuries. The outlet cited a government official who indicated the individual who directed the bombing had been killed in a Taliban operation. From CBN News, two of the most iconic faces on cable news leaving their host networks without explanation. Fox News said it had agreed to part ways with the popular conservative host Tucker Carlson, and longtime CNN host Don Lemon revealed that he had been terminated. Carlson had been Fox News's Fox Network's most popular primetime host since he took the slot previously held by Bill O'Reilly. Todd Starnes reports that Fox News Channel viewers are abandoning the network in historic numbers after the ouster of Tucker Carlson. Carlson had garnered a 2.65 million viewers last Friday, which would become the final show on the network. By Wednesday night, the viewership for the 8 p.m. time slot had plummeted to 1.33 million, about half of what it had been. One American News Network reporting a bill extending the country's debt ceiling was approved by the House on Wednesday after days of deliberation among Republican legislators to support the measure. Final vote, 217 to 215. Four Republicans voted against it. Ken Buck, Andy Biggs, Tim Burchett, and Matt Gaetz. The Democrat-led Senate is expected to completely reject this bill. However, the approval of the bill from the House reportedly solidifies Kevin McCarthy's position as at the negotiating table. House Republicans rallied around their proposal to increase the country's borrowing limit and reduce government spending. The Washington Examiner says that Joe Manchin, senator from West Virginia, reiterating his public call for President Biden to negotiate with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on raising the debt limit at the risk of default years. He's saying the clock is ticking on this debt ceiling crisis, and the American people will pay the economic price if President Biden continues to refuse to sit down and negotiate a common-sense compromise that would prevent a historic default, Manchin said. By the way, he was the deciding vote in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, but he's facing re-election now. And McCarthy's legislation pairs about $4.8 trillion in deficit reduction measures with a debt limit increase into the next year. The bill would return government agency funding to fiscal 2022 levels and cap annual increases to about 1% annually, except for the Pentagon. It would also roll back parts of Biden's expansive health, climate, and tax law, expand mining and fossil fuel production, and impose work requirements on social programs. Newsmax is reporting that the White House stood firm Tuesday on its demand for an uncompromised debt ceiling increase, pledging Joe Biden will veto the proposal if it should, against long odds, pass both chambers of the Congress. Washington Examiner reporting that the West Virginia Senate race is shaping up to become one of the most important races in the 2024 election cycle, as Governor Jim Justice is likely to, entering the race and join Alex Mooney in the Republican battle to unseat Joe Manchin. Republicans are viewing West Virginia as one of their best pickup opportunities as they seek to flip the Senate in their favor. From WND.com, former Republican Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson officially announced his run for president during a speech in Bentonville, Arkansas. He had served for two terms and now has been succeeded by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders in January. But he did make it official this past Wednesday. And he joins former President Donald Trump, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, conservative businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, and conservative talk show host Larry Elder in the race for the Republican nomination. Let's look what CNBC is saying. Well, Walt Disney Company is suing Ron DeSantis, alleging that the Republican governor has waged a relentless campaign to weaponize government power over the company. The suit dramatically escalates the feud between DeSantis, who is expected to become a top Republican contender in 24. The lawsuit was filed the same day that DeSantis-backed board moved to undo a development deal that it says Disney struck to thwart its power. The Daily Caller has an interesting story on Nikki Haley, former South Carolina governor, presidential candidate Nikki Haley, invited Disney to move to South Carolina amid its prolonged feud with Ron DeSantis on Wednesday, saying, quote, if Disney would like to move their hundreds of thousands of jobs to South Carolina and bring the billions of dollars with them, I'll let them know I'll be happy to meet them in South Carolina and introduce them to the governor and the legislature that would welcome it. That's what Nikki Haley told Fox News on Wednesday. Well, Haley continued her jab at DeSantis on Twitter, said South Carolina isn't woke or sanctimonious, which Ron DeSantis has been called by former President Trump. But very interesting, saying we're not woke here. Folks, we see how Disney is assaulting this nation, in my opinion, with the immoral things that they have been promoting, the LGBT stance that they have been promoting. Let's go on to another issue here. This is from the Washington Stand. Supreme Court last Friday restored the new FDA rules permitting the widespread distribution of the chemical abortion drug mifepristone. The brief order from which Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented granted without comment two applications for stays brought on by the FDA and Danko Laboratories, which manufactures the abortion pills. The Supreme Court's latest order, though, is just temporary. Justice Alito noted that the appeal was on a fast track before the Fifth Circuit, with oral arguments scheduled to take place on May the 17th. However, Alito saw no justification for the stay, arguing that the applicants are not entitled to a stay because they have not shown that they are likely to suffer irreparable harm in the interim. By the way, the Canadian government, this is townhall.com, said it would work to provide Americans access to the abortion pill if the controversial drug gets banned in the United States. We've got more news right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have investigators found any evidence of life in outer space?
Not a bit, Chris. They've pointed their telescopes to the skies, hoping to pick up any signal that's non-random, like Morse code. Actually, they're setting their sights rather low. They think that just a few letters would indicate intelligent life. But at the same time, scientists look at the incredibly complex information-loaded DNA code with billions of letters all in a precise sequence and call it random. In spite of this incredible complexity, atheistic scientists refuse to believe that it's the evidence of intelligence. Yet they say that the simple hoped-for code from outer space would be the sign of intelligent life. How inconsistent. At least the creation model doesn't depend on claims such as this. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You wonder what's next sometimes, don't you? What next is unfolding? What else is going on behind closed doors? And then all of a sudden, poof, we find out what is going on. Well, that happened just recently again, as LifeNews.com is pointing out that President Biden wants to redefine persons to exclude unborn babies. April 17th, just a week ago, President Biden's Department of, about 10 days ago, his Department of Health and Human Services issued a notice of proposed rulemaking that seeks to redefine the term persons, natural person and individual, to exclude the unborn. The rule change would apply to federal health care regulations, including those created by the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996. That's HIPAA. The HHS proposal states that HIPAA, a bipartisan law that was supported by many pro-life members of Congress at the time, does not define the term person. Well, basically, the department is wanting to determine the meaning any act of Congress or ruling that to provide a definition of person and child that's consistent with the department's understanding of the term, and that would not include a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus, the agency is stating. Now, I know I don't have the link here, but this is a public comment period. You can find it in the public comment section, no doubt, of rule changes and wanting to redefine the term persons to exclude unborn babies, and understand that there is normally a comment period of about 30 days or so for that before it can be advanced. From the National Review, on Tuesday, Planned Parenthood released its 2022 annual report. It provides further evidence that Planned Parenthood continues to make abortion its top priority. Indeed, the report indicates that Planned Parenthood performed 374,155 abortions in 2022. Can you imagine, folks, the brutality, the barbarity of this, killing over 374,000 babies? This is the second most abortions that Planned Parenthood has performed in its history and represents approximately 40% of the abortions performed in the United States, reports in the National Review. The report also indicates that Planned Parenthood continues to cut back on several health services. Between 2021 and 2022, prenatal services fell by a whopping 29%. In addition to this, miscarriage care fell by 5%. Adoption referrals fell by 7%. STI tests fell by over 2%, and pregnancy tests fell by 3.7%. In fact, in 20 years, the number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood affiliates has increased by an astounding 75.6%. During the same time period, prenatal services offered by Planned Parenthood affiliates have gone down by more than 60%. Although Planned Parenthood cut back on several health services in 2022, it continues to review, or rather to receive, more and more government funding. The report indicates that in 2022, it received $670.4 million in government grants and reimbursements. That's a significant 5.8% increase from 2021. More taxpayer funding, fewer health services, and tragically, the lives of the innocent taken. From LifeSiteNews.com, yesterday marked the 55th anniversary of the UK Abortion Act coming into effect in 1968. Since then, a staggering 10,135,618 unborn babies, not including those killed in Northern Ireland since 2020, have lost their lives to abortion across England, Wales, and Scotland. In 2021, more than one baby was lost to abortion every 2.5 minutes. 26 lives were ended every hour. The number of abortions in England and Wales has reached a record high, with 214,869 taking place in 2021, 13,758 abortions performed in Scotland in the same year. from LifeNews.com. The story from former President Trump released a video which he vows to fight abortion, says he would continue to stand along on pro-life principles if he returns to the White House. Nikki Haley from the Washington Examiner here said that she aimed to find a national consensus on limiting access to abortion. Gave the speech on Tuesday, saying, "I said I want to save as many babies and help as many baby moms as possible. That is my goal, to do that at the federal level. The next president must find national consensus." I'd like to hear what you think about that later in the program. Find a national consensus on limiting access to abortion. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting the Kansas Republicans have voted to override Governor Laura Kelly's veto of legislation to require basic medical care to babies who survived botched abortions, ensuring the new protection will become state law over her objection. They're also working as a legislature to reverse her on other measures. The House has voted to override her vetoes of legislation to require abortionists to make their customers aware of an option of abortion pill reversal and to bar abortion providers from obtaining liability insurance via the state's health care stabilization fund. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting in North Dakota, their governor has signed into law a ban on most abortions throughout pregnancy, with exceptions only allowed prior to the detection of a heartbeat in cases of rape, incest, or medical emergency. The new law, which would effectively ban any abortion after 6 weeks, expected to be legally challenged. Let's see, WND.com, a troubling story. Los Angeles-based artist and writer Jackie Desforges has founded a new church for the express purpose of worshiping abortion. According to Insider, at a Renegade Art and Literary Festival in Bombay Beach, California, she knelt and prayed with passerbys at the inaugural mass of her new church. Reading aloud from a sermon rewritten using Supreme Court language, the group didn't merely celebrate, they worshiped abortion. She's calling her church the Church of Potential Life, and has co-opted Catholic imagery, motifs, and terminology. She has an altar, refers to her service as a mass. LifeNews.com, just 4 months after a Bloomington, Indiana fire marshal installed a special safe haven baby box, an infant was surrendered to the firefighters' care. Monroe Fire Department District Station 25 Chief Jason Allen said a silent alarm alerted the firefighters April 8th that a baby had been placed inside their specially designed box. He said they retrieved the baby in less than a minute. They provided EMS care and comfort to the baby until paramedics were able to take it to a hospital for further evaluation. And according to the Safe Haven Baby Box organization, 28 babies have been anonymously and safely surrendered in Indiana since 2017. By the way, all 50 states have Safe Haven laws that allow mothers to safely surrender their newborns to authority. The Daily Signal, well, here's another new topic here, border security. Experts say Vice President Kamala Harris's claim that the Trump administration dismantled and broke America's immigration system is nothing more than deflection. This is an example. This is Andrew Arthur, resident fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. He said this is an example of what's called in psychology as deflection, blaming others for what you yourself have done. During an interview with Spanish-language television outlet, Harris was asked about the Biden administration's plan to deal with the expected surge of illegal aliens when the public health measure known as Title 42 expires on May 11th. In the interview, here's what Kamala Harris said, quote, "Under the prior administration, they essentially dismantled the system and broke it. And we have been, since we came into office, attempting to fix it in a number of ways, which includes more immigration judges, more personnel, making sure that we secure the border, but that we also have an immigration system that is fair and humane." Well, the Daily Signal reporting after more than 5 million illegal alien counters along the southern border since President Biden took office, it is clear that this administration does not have operational control. That's the head of the House of Homeland Security Committee says. Because of the ongoing crisis at the southern border, which Representative Mark Green calls one of the greatest security threats facing the American people, he and his fellow GOP lawmakers on the Homeland Security Committee introduced the Border Reinforcement Act of 2023 this past Monday. Washington Examiner telling us that Governor Greg Abbott's decision, he's of Texas, to surge state troopers to the state's border with Mexico 2 years ago has resulted in thousands of human smuggling attempts thwarted and the revelation of how many people have slipped past Border Patrol, according to a Washington Examiner's investigation. Texas Highway Patrol officers made 8,721 traffic stops that involved a vehicle suspected of transporting illegal immigrants from the border deeper into the U.S. between January 1 of 21 and December 31st of 22. According to data produced in the 2022 public information request of the Texas Department of Public Safety records, during the traffic stops, the state troopers discovered an additional 39,100 illegal immigrants smuggled had attempted to transport from stash houses and fields near the border to cities including Houston and San Antonio. Of that number, nearly 900 were unaccompanied children. And by the way, folks, it's going to happen again. The Dignity for Detained Immigrants Act that was introduced by Democratic Representative Jayapal of Washington and Cory Booker of New Jersey and Adam Smith of Washington would force federal authorities to not detain vulnerable migrants, including those who claim to be LGBTQ, according to the text of the bill. The four border agents who all work along the southern border with Mexico believe that migrants are likely to see this as a new opportunity to get released into the country and will lie about their sexuality or gender just to do so. Saying, quote, I've only seen a handful of LGBTQ migrants, but if this is passed, I guarantee everyone is going to be LGBTQ, one agent told the DCNF. Yeah, all you got to do is say the word gay and you got free entrance. Wow. That's what their legislation would do. Daily Signal reporting Maricopa County, Arizona, a lightning rod during recent elections, has removed 222 foreign nationals from the voter registration rolls over the past 7 years. According to a new report from the Public Interest Legal Foundation, nine of those 222 non-citizens cast 12 ballots across a total of four federal elections, the Legal Foundation says. We're going to hit another topic here, and friends, we could literally do a topic on what's a program every single day on the whole matter of LGBT activism and so forth and what's happening in our nation on this. Well, here is a good news story out of state of Georgia. LifeSiteNews.com tells us a Georgia school district has reached a settlement with a substitute teacher that had fired for taking issue with an LGBT children's book, according to agreeing to reinstate Lindsay Barr and pay her $181,000 in legal fees and damages. The Christian Post reported last year that she reached out to McAllister Elementary School principal to express concern about the inclusion of a book All Are Welcome features illustrated depictions of same-sex couples in the school library read aloud program, and her children were students at the school. She expressed her concerns as a parent. As a result, she was fired. Well, the Religious Liberty Nonprofit Alliance Defending Freedom agreed to take her case. On Monday, they announced a settlement that the school has offered her job back, agreed to pay for damages, and to publicly apologize. The Center Square tells us the Texas House, with 11 Democrats joined Republicans, passed a bill that seeks to ban sexually explicit books from being in the public school and classroom libraries. The House passed the bill last week, a vote of 95 to 52. And also we have from WND.com, Democratic Pennsylvania State Representative Emily Kincaid said that doctors should be forced to perform cross-sex treatments on patients and that those who refuse should be held accountable. In Monday testimony to the State House of Representatives, advocating for a bill that would add gender identity, sex, and sexual orientation to the state's anti-discrimination law. Can you believe that, folks? To force doctors to perform not only cross-sex treatments on patients, but also that they be held accountable if they would refuse. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Relationships have been shattered due to lack of forgiveness. It's impacted marriages, parents and children, siblings, and even church families as a whole. Some have said that forgiveness is the most difficult commandment we are given as Christians. Why is that? Perhaps it is because it strikes at the core of our pride that says we deserve better than we are getting. Perhaps it seems if we forgive, we are letting that person win in a situation that hurts us in some way. In the book, Forgiven People Forgive, Pastor Jeff Miller shows us where the rubber meets the road At the heart of why we should forgive is the fact that God has forgiven us and we are commanded to forgive. It's easy for bitterness to take root in a heart that is unforgiving. Forgiven People Forgive is available for a donation of $6 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Forgiven People Forgive. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We thank you for tuning in for the broadcast here today and News Roundup Day. And looking forward to our programs coming up next week as well. Did you know SatanCon going on in Boston right now? Lord willing, on Monday, we'll be discussing that issue with Pastor David Brown here on the program. Daily Mail Online is reporting around a quarter of high school students identify, listen to this, folks, a quarter of high school students identify as gay, bisexual, or have a more fluid sexuality, official data suggests. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention yearly youth report found that 75.5% of 14 to 18-year-olds said they were heterosexual in 2021. That's a new low. And friends, I would guess that where we are now in 2023, that would be staggering even lower yet. The remainder said that they were either bisexual, 12.1%, gay or lesbian, 3.2%, other, 3.9%, or said they questioned their sexuality, 5.2%. The percentage of students who do not view themselves as straight has more than doubled in recent years from 11% in 2015 to 24.5% in 2021. That's in just 6 years. 6 years, more than doubled. What do you suppose is causing that? National Review is reporting a transgender runner on Sunday defeated thousands of women in the female category of the London Marathon after competing as a man in the New York City race just months prior. Glenique Frank, a 52-year-old male athlete who now identifies as female, finished ahead of over 14,000 women, still placed at, 6,000-something in place, but yelled out girl power, said to a reporter, flexing his biceps and abdomen muscles for the cameras, then ran off from the cameras wearing a transgender flag as a cape. Spectacle soon received intense backlash from some female professional runners, running just months ago as a male in New York and now running as a female marathon runner in the UK, London. Daily Signal tells us new legislation in Louisiana would ban public school teachers and personnel from discussing sexual orientation and gender identity with students from kindergarten through the end of high school. That's not all. Would also prevent teachers from discussing their own sexual orientation or gender identity with students or using pronouns for a student that differs from the pronouns that reflect the sex indicated on the student's birth certificate. Passed out of committee 7-5 on Wednesday, now going to go to the full House for debate. North Dakota has become the latest state to prohibit minors from being chemically or surgically mutilated through transgender drugs and surgeries, signed into law by their governor, Doug Burgum. WJHL reporting the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit to block Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. In its complaint, the department argues that the new law violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment by discriminating on the basis of sex and transgender status. The department has asked the court to issue an order blocking the law before it goes into effect on July 1. You know, the media likes to pay attention to lots of things, but here is a story it will not pay attention to from LifeSiteNews.com, and this is when a drag queen mom is convicted of 11 child sex abuse crimes. LifeSiteNews.com on October 26th of 2022 covered the story of a protest at Old Nick's Pub in Eugene, Oregon. Parents were protesting an event featuring an 11-year-old drag queen whose mentor, a drag mom named Kelsey Boren, who also moonlights as a drag queen, had been arrested for child sex abuse crimes. Well, an update to that story, Boren, now 31, pleaded guilty in March to 11 counts of encouraging sexual abuse in the first degree and sentenced in Lane County Circuit Court to a mere 330 days in jail, 30 days per charge. Bourne, who frequently posted photos of herself with the 11-year-old drag performer, worked as a teacher for the Fern Ridge School District before being suspended after the allegation surfaced. Bourne was arrested in August, and police found that she had been both uploading and exchanging child pornography on the Internet, the story states. LifeSiteNews.com also has a story that you'll not hear on your nightly news tonight. Violence by trans activists against their political opponents and anyone who disagrees with them has been consistently escalating and consistently ignored by the mainstream media. The threats, however, are getting even more brazen as a TikTok video from transgender activist Tara J made clear. Jay, a male who calls himself female, issued a call to trans activists and supporters to purchase weapons to use against anyone who wished to bar them from female facilities. Quote, "So you go ahead. You protect your kids from me using the bathroom. I dare you to try and stop me from going into a woman's bathroom. It will be the last thing, mistake you ever made. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever made." Jay continued, quote, "This is a call to action and a call to arms. You need to arm up, plain and simple. Go out and buy a gun. Learn how to use it efficiently, though, and through, because the time to act is now." Why are we not hearing this front and center in the newscast? A trans activist threatening to murder people, to shoot them, who would stop men from entering girls' bathrooms, telling them to go buy a gun. Well, folks, the protests in Montana this week have been amazing. From townhall.com, transgendered protesters in Montana forced the House to halt its proceedings after Republicans led an effort to censure Representative Zoe Zephyr, a transgender member, after accusing them of having blood on their hands for passing a bill that stops children from receiving life-altering medical treatment in the name of transgenderism. Zephyr supporters in the viewing gallery shouted and chanted to show solidarity, forcing the House to suspend its proceedings until the agitators could be removed. Some of the protesters resisted, being pushed out of the by the Montana Highway Patrol, others banging on the doors to the gallery. I'd like to share with you some of the audio that took place here at the Montana State Capitol. Let her speak. Let her speak. See, they had barred this one claiming to be transgender from speaking out because of their vile words that they said before. Here's the banging at the chamber's doors. Whose house? Our house. You know, I wonder if that's how it sounded outside of Lot's house. Also, did you know? Here's a headline from Todd Starnes: lesbians hijack White House press briefing. The first press secretary to identify as a lesbian invited actresses from the L Word and Generation Q to address the press. I'm going to take you to the White House to let you hear from Karine Jean-Pierre as to what transpired at the White House. I'm guessing this, too, didn't make the top of the newscast.
So this week is Lesbian Visibility Week, and as the first openly queer person to hold the position of press secretary for the President of the United States, I see every day how important visibility and representation are. Today, I'm honored to welcome the cast of The L Word and Generation Q, two Showtime series that chronicle the friendship, the love, the challenges, and the triumphs of strong, funny, and resilient queer women. Up here with me are the amazing, talented actresses who play those very roles: Jennifer Beals, Leisha Haley, and Catherine Minnig, and the show's co-creator, writer, and executive producer, Eileen Shakin. After hearing from them briefly at the podium today, the cast will meet with LGBTQI plus staffers of the Biden-Harris administration to talk about our administration's work to advance full equality for our community. Last year, I had the personal privilege of attending the filming of an episode showcasing the marriage of two characters, Bette and Tina, a moment that meant so much to queer women across the country. Even though I grew up in one of the most diverse cities in the world, as some of you know, I grew up in New York City. As a young queer woman of color, I felt alone and sometimes invisible. For so many people in our community, the L word's impact cannot be understated. Being able to see diverse narratives that reflect our lives is incredibly important. It is important that young people see characters on television and in the books who they can relate to, whose life stories and identities inspire them to reach their highest potential. It's important that LGBTQI plus people are represented in government, in shows, in institutions across the country. And this work is more important than ever as the LGBTQI plus community continues to face relentless attacks from some Republicans across the country. From books bans to don't say gay laws, MAGA extremists want to roll back the visibility and progress we fought so hard to achieve. But LGBTQI plus youth are resilient, and you've heard me say this before, you've heard the president say this before, they are fierce, they fight back, they aren't going anywhere. And there are people from the White House, from the president to the vice president to this administration and beyond who have their back.
They're fierce. They're fighters. They're not going to turn back. That's what we're told by the press secretary. This took place at the White House, ladies and gentlemen. And also, let me just mention, because the president has called transgenderism the civil rights issue of our time. Well, he has been blasted many times online here this past week after he made a bizarre claim about who is responsible for raising the children in the United States. They were honoring educators who were nominated to be Teachers of the Year for 2023 at the White House when the president made his comments there.
Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, "There's no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children."
You hear that? Our nation's children are all our children. So I guess that makes the LGBT indoctrination just okay for the Biden administration. Well, let's take a look here, too, from Free Beacon. This is Matt Gaetz, press General James McConville during a Wednesday Pentagon budget hearing on whether recruitment of a key military demographic, men from the American South, might suffer from the Army's transgender inclusion policies, like guidelines allowing biological men to shower with female soldiers. And he asked this question. Gaetz asked, "Do you think you're going to recruit more of them with this kind of stuff?" He responded, "Probably not." That word from the general, probably not. In Minnesota, this is from National Review, Governor Tim Walz. Walz had signed a trio of bills into law yesterday, making effectively them a state for sanctuary for abortion and gender transition surgeries. And friends, even Mother's Day under assault by some corporations that perhaps you wouldn't even think would be engaged in this. This is from the Daily Caller. Several corporations recently sent emails to customers that allow them to opt out of receiving Mother's Day messaging, according to screenshots posted on Twitter. Companies including DoorDash, Kay's Jewelers, Fry's Food Stores, Hallmark, and Kroger are allowing their patrons to avoid promotional material about Mother's Day. In their emails, the companies acknowledge that Mother's Day can be a sensitive topic for some. "We know Mother's Day and Father's Day can be sensitive times for some. If you'd like to opt out of our emails and push notifications for these holidays, please tap below," Fry's Food Store sent an email, and Kay's Jeweler sent a similar message. Well, we need to take a break, and let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories here in our final segment, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your response to these issues today, or want to comment on another current event news stories, we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There's an organization I recently found out about entitled Better Than Cash. BetterThanCash.org is their website. And when you go there, you find out it's many governments of the world. along with big corporations. And according to the website, that includes, well, Target, along with Coca-Cola and others. And what's their goal? Well, according to their website and a speech given by the lady that runs the organization, it is to go to a cashless society, digitized cash. And what does she say is the purpose? Well, in the speech that I played on the radio the other day, she states it's so they can accomplish the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 United Nations goals. That's radical environmentalism, end of private property, depopulation, and so much more. And guess where this organization is based? Yep, the United Nations. I'm Brandon House.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Several days back, we interviewed Jerome Smith on Crosstalk, who edited the New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Remember that massive book, 1,500 pages? The VCY bookstore does have that at 51% off. That does end April 30th. April 30th. If you've been trying to get through, they've had many, many calls. You can reach out to them yet this afternoon until 6 p.m. Central, Saturday 10 to 4 Central, or online 24/7, vcy.com. That's vcy.com. Or you may call 1-888-722-4829. But that does come to an end on April 30th. Let's go to Tennessee. We have Merle calling. Hi, Merle. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. God has every reason to bring judgment on America. He would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't. It'll probably be at the hands of our enemies, and those enemies are now within our gates.
Hmm. Yeah, thank you for the call. You know, when I heard that pounding take place outside the legislature there in Montana, that's why I thought of Lot's house. Is this the pounding that was going on to surrender the men that had come in by Lot, the angels?
Exactly,
there.
Jim. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Will in Burlington, and Will in Burlington, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to make a few points just as believers. One thing, especially if you have kids in public school, pull them out, homeschool them. Second point, just wanted to say is that we need to realize that this is a spiritual battle with the LGBT people, and realize that their minds are spiritually darkened and they're of Antichrist, as John says. Many Antichrists have gone out into the world, and anybody who denies that Jesus is the Messiah is of Antichrist. And then I just wanted to say that, you know, during this time, the LGBT agenda is pushing full equality, but not full equality for Christians. To just keep your eyes fixed to Christ. That's it.
Thank you, Will. Let's go to Mike next in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Mike.
Hi, I just want to hear some conservatives out there use the word perversion once in a while when referring to the LGBT queers that are out there. Just once. I mean, you don't hear it anymore. So, and the way I see it is you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Okay, thanks for raising that issue. Laura is next in Hollywood, Maryland. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I just find it interesting you bring up the Hallmark thing because I am a Hallmark member, and to my surprise, getting those emails was quite interesting. We're all sensitive about mothers. I was like, excuse me, are we going to cater to everybody's sensitivities now?
You know, I think it was Charlie Kirk who tweeted out, can we opt out of Pride Month spam too? You know,
yeah.
But because there's such a huge promotion for Pride Month, would there be corporations that allow people to opt out of Pride? I've never seen that before.
Of course not. Of course not. And the other acts, it just goes into everything. Everything is focused on the minority rather than the majority. All the little minorities and finding anybody's niche who may be offended. I can't believe it. This is where the culture has gone in our society, and everybody takes an offense to everything.
Thank you for
and
the
And does God help our nation?
Yeah, indeed. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Linda, calling from Burlington, you're on the air.
Yes. I saw this news announcement shortly before Crosstalk, so I figured I'd just have to call in. Apparently, there's going to be a Pride celebration in Stevens Point on June 10th. And they're going to be having two, I guess, premier teen drag performers there, as well as other types of events that are going on that day. I saw the location at Pfiffner Park band shell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
I just wanted people to be aware of that up in Stevens Point. Maybe there could be some protesting.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Rex is next in Mora, Minnesota. Rex, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. How are you standing to all of this spiritual attack that we're getting? It's got to be pretty hard. I'm praying for you, man, but man, oh, man, it's just like this whole globe is under a spiritual onslaught, and all we can do is just draw as close to Jesus as we can, and I don't know, I'm praying for you guys, and I just hope you can withstand the storm that we're in.
Well, Rex, it's not just us. It's for every believer in Christ. I mean, it is a spiritual battle, certainly, that we're in, as you recognize there.
Yep,
but we were all told to stand.
Yep, this is a global onslaught by Satan.
Thank you for the call. Julie in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make a comment about the gay movement and all of these. You know, when I was a kid in school, none of this was going on. And, you know, I wondered, like some parents that I know, they're accepting their children the way they are. And, you know, I kind of want to hear from other Christians. Would you accept your child in that behavior, or would you cut that child off? You know, and sometimes there comes a point where, you know, we have to stand for what God wants us, you know, what God wants.
Julie, if I could just mildly correct what you said, that you know, you talked about the child want them to accept them the way they are, but they aren't that way. They were not made that way.
And I know. They claim that they're that way, though.
Right.
And they need, you know, they make these claims. And it makes me sick to see the kids the way they are nowadays. It just... They need the Lord.
They do need the Lord. And sadly, we've got many parents that are dragging their children to these issues and through these waters as well. We're down to just a minute here. I want to get one last call in. This is Alice in Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. That was admonition to parents. Fathers are to nurture their children in the admonition of the Lord. No. In the beginning of this nation, there were dame schools made by, taught by unmarried young women. Fox's Book of Martyrs, Pilgrim's Progress, of course, the Bible, number one, and then the New England Primer with the textbooks. Oh, if only it could be that way today. I was a public school teacher, many years ago, and I was even there at that time to present that wonderful film strip about the birds and how the man found out he needed Jesus. Because of that wonderful illustration of the birds, because we needed a Savior to show us the way.
Amen. Alice, I'm sorry, I've got to go here. We're out of time. Thank you for your call. Friends, we thank you for joining us today, all this week on Crosstalk, as we talk about the issues. Yes, we need to be salt in the society around us. We also need to be light, ambassadors of the gospel message. Let's do that. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming, and I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.